Hey, this is Rachel Scarston, Dinah Lance from Birds of Prey, and you are listening to Comic Book Central, where comic books come to life.
Hello, comic book fans. Welcome to Comic Book Central, where comic books come to life. I'm your host, Joe Stuber. Welcome once again to the Comic Book Central Lair. I'm premiering this episode a day early. You get the bonus plan this week. I've got to head out of town. I just wanted to make sure there were no issues in getting today's show to all of you listeners on time. It is another fantastic chat. I'll have that for you in just a few minutes. If you're a first-time listener, thanks so much for joining in on the fun. I hope you stick around. Maybe check out some of the past episodes of Comic Book Central. There are a bunch of them. Keep in mind, this is your one-stop shop for in-depth conversations with the legendary talents who bring our favorite comic book characters to life on television, at the multiplex, and live shows, all around the world. And if you want to check out some of those past episodes you might have missed, hey, that's easy. They're all on the website, comicbookcentral.net. You can also head over to iTunes, where Comic Book Central just happens to be one of the iTunes Essential podcasts. Big thanks to the folks at iTunes for selecting it. Just subscribe to the show. Just like that, you've got them all headed to your back computer or whatever electronic device you're listening to. Go get the episodes. Enjoy them. And if you wouldn't mind, please leave a review in iTunes if you like what you're hearing. And I think you're going to love what you're hearing today. This week, my wife and I have gone back. We've binge-watched a very cool show from 2002. We were watching it from the beginning. We were sad to see it go off the air, but I'll tell you what, it's been fun reliving the adventures of the Birds of Prey. My guest today was one of the three crime-fighting superheroes of New Gotham. She played Dinah Redmond, also known as Dinah Lance. It's actress Rachel Scarston. August 1947, that is when the character Dinah Drake first appeared in the DC Universe. It was Flash Comics issue number 86. Just six short issues later, the Black Canary burst through the cover of issue number 92. The creation of writer Robert Koniger and artist Carmine Infantino, the character of Black Canary, she changed a lot over the years. She gained a new last name, Lance, started a love story with the Green Arrow, and developed a high-powered sonic scream, the Canary Cry, which can destroy objects and stop the bad guys in their tracks. Now, outside of a campy appearance in the 1979 NBC superhero spoof Legends of the Superheroes, Dinah Lance was noticeably absent from the live-action scene until the 2002 WB series, Birds of Prey. Coming hot off the success of the recently launched Smallville, Birds of Prey gave comic book fans everything they could want in a live-action show. Set firmly in the world of Tim Burton's Batman, we got a glimpse of New Gotham, a dark, gritty, violent world where Catwoman has been murdered, Batman is MIA, and in a scene straight out of Alan Moore's graphic novel The Killing Joke, Barbara Gordon, also known as Batgirl, is gunned down and paralyzed by the Joker, who was voiced by none other than Mark Hamill. The show has it all, folks. Barbara becomes the wheelchair-bound crime fighter Oracle. She's taking down criminals with her cyberspace skills, and she's played by the stunning Dina Meyer. Helena Kyle, daughter of Batman and Catwoman. That's right, the daughter of Batman and Catwoman. She's the Huntress, and actress Ashley Scott brought the martial arts skills in a big way. The Huntress also sat in on some therapy sessions with Mia Sara's Dr. Harleen Quinzel. Sound familiar? Hey, and rounding out the superhero trio is Dinah Redmond, who, as we come to find out, is actually Dinah Lance, daughter of the original Black Canary. And the producers found the perfect actress to bring the character to life. Rachel Scarsden started her career as a dancer, but she was just as comfortable tending goal in hockey as she was on the dance floor. Well, being from Canada, you might expect that. In the late 90s, she was featured in the Canadian series Little Men, based on the novel by Louisa May Alcott, and she appeared in several commercials and TV movies before entering the world of superheroes and metahumans, all the while keeping an eye on New Gotham from the Clock Tower Lair. The show Birds of Prey premiered to blockbuster ratings, but cooled off in subsequent episodes. But the struggling WB network really didn't have much patience in those years. They clipped the wings on these birds prematurely. But we did get a bit of a wrap-up, and we saw Rachel Skarsgård turn in some incredible dramatic performances and some awesome fight scenes before the curtain finally came down on the show. Well, these days, Rachel couldn't be busier, appearing in the sci-fi hit Lost Girl, the film adaptation of 50 Shades of Grey, and the upcoming film The Cove with Smallville's Callum Blue. But she's not too busy to stop by the Comic Book Central lair to talk about fighting crime in New Gotham. Now, joining me today is an actress who was part of a trio of crime-fighting superheroes on Birds of Prey, where she portrayed Dinah Lance. She'll soon be seen in the final season of Lost Girl and on the big screen in the adaptation of the controversial novel 50 Shades of Grey. A big welcome to one of our favorite superheroes, Rachel Skarsgård. Rachel, welcome to Comic Book Central.
Hey, thank you very much for having me.
Thanks for being here today. I've been doing a little bit of homework, so I was going back and watching some Birds of Prey episodes, and I'm telling you what, you hold your own in those fight scenes. Did your background playing hockey help out with that on any level?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, especially at that point in my life and career, I was playing hockey almost every day, and I was training, and I was really into kicking a lot of ass. So it was easy to translate that onto screen.
So you were still playing hockey while you were shooting Birds of Prey?
I was, yeah. I'd actually fly back at every opportunity that I could to play with my then-rep team, Lisa. And it was quite the controversy on set because, of course, the producers were very worried that I was going to get a puck in the face and not be able to.
Well, that's the whole thing. It's with actors. It's like, never in the face, never in the face. There's only so much makeup.
You know, I told them they could drop me, out of a third story window with my equipment on, and I'd be completely unscathed. You wear so much equipment as a goaltender.
Okay, well, yeah, you're throwing down almost every episode, so yeah, it would make sense if you did. Now, what position you play?
A goaltender. I'm a goalie.
All right. So, okay, how does this work? Like, not too many females are into hockey. I mean, I hate to don't want to throw a stereotype out, but it's, you see a lot of guys into it. How do you get into hockey into the beginning, and especially goalie, because that's got to be one of the toughest positions on the team, if not the toughest position?
Well, being a goalie is actually a lot like acting, because it's feast or famine, glory or horror. Yes, being a goaltender technically is very difficult, and there's a lot of pressure on you specifically on the team. But I always found that it's a great position because, if you really mess up, your teammates generally, care for you and love you. And they're like, oh, that was my fault. I should have gotten that forward, and I'm sorry, blah, blah. And then when you make a great save, they're like, oh, my gosh, you're amazing. So, I have the benefit of playing with some wonderful teams and training with some wonderful people who made it much easier.
Now, is this a whole growing up in Canada thing, or is it just like everybody's into hockey up there?
Oh, everybody.
Okay. So it's a Canadian thing.
I would say that even the people who profess to not be into hockey would still be much more into hockey than anyone else in the entire world. We're sort of, they say Scandinavians are born on skis, and I think Canadians are born on skates. That's, you get your first pair of skates when you learn to walk, and everyone kind of plays hockey. I didn't start until much later. My brother played quite competitively, and one night, and he loved watching what's called Hockey Night in Canada. So every Saturday night, they have a doubleheader game, and everybody watches it. And he wanted to watch Hockey Night in Canada. I was completely disinterested. And I watched it, and I remember seeing the goaltender and being so fascinated with what he was doing. And so the next night at dinner, I said to my mom, I just made this proclamation, I'm going to be a goaltender, which was ludicrous because I was that girl in, gym class who would scream when the ball came close to me. rightfully so, my mom, bless her because she's so supportive of everything I do, she just sort of laughed out loud. And I think it was that reaction, which was, you know, synonymous with everyone I knew, that made me be like, okay, well, you know what? Now I'm really going to be a goaltender. I'm going to prove you all wrong, and I'm going to be the best.
Wow.
And so I didn't know how to skate. I took myself to the free skates on Saturday afternoons and joined the school team, and slowly but surely, you know, managed to somehow convince one of the top girls teams to let me play for them. So.
Wow. That's amazing. Now, this... Because it's strange from where you're coming from, because you're originally a dancer, correct?
I am, yes. You've done your research.
How do you go from dancing to hockey to... I mean, take us on this journey with you. How do you go from one to the other? Because they're all... I mean, I guess there's some things that are related, but they're kind of not.
Funnily enough, people ask me that all the time. How did you go from being a ballerina to a goaltender? I think they're very similar. You have... a lot of strength in your legs, flexibility, agility, reflexes, things like that. They both require a tremendous degree of focus and dedication. And I would say really the only major difference, other than, you know, obviously all the equipment and the general public's idea of the two of them, is really that ballet is a singular thing that you very much do on your own. And what I loved about hockey, and I think what made me give up dancing for hockey, was the fact that there was a team, and it was so opposite to what I was experiencing in Los Angeles, which was, you know, you have to be skinny, and hockey taught me I needed to be strong. And in Los Angeles, it was very cutthroat, and every girl was stabbing you in the back to get a part. And in hockey, it was a team effort, and you had to learn to work together and have cooperation. And so I always credit hockey really to saving me. And I'm very, very grateful to that sport.
Oh, you must have been fun on auditions. Just going in with that hockey mentality.
I know, I'm like, hey, do you want to look at my size? And she really takes it and runs off. But you know what? That's also just being...
You didn't like body check any actresses out of the way, did you, or anything, to get a role? You didn't get like a part on Little Men from body checking somebody out of the way, did you?
You know what? I've been instructed by my lawyers not to talk about that.
Fair enough.
So
we'll keep it on the down low. Keep it on the down low.
Keep it on the down.
Oh, yeah. So you're playing hockey, then how do you get into acting? Where did that all come from, or where did that inspiration? Did you see something, a movie, a TV show, or just go, oh, wow, now there's that interest?
No, you know, I always liken acting to sort of a great love affair of my life, but it was one that I entered into very reluctantly. And I was actually acting before I started playing hockey. I had been on... So I'll take it back a little bit more. So my father was a psychologist, and he passed away when I was 9. But he'd done a lot of work for an organization that had a television show, a local organization. And a few years after he passed away, they did a show to honor him and the work that he'd done. And they invited my mom and my brother and I onto the show just to be interviewed. And, of course, my proud mama was like, well, Rachel sings, and she can sing a song. And I was mortified. And I sang this song to make her happy. And an agent happened to be flipping channels and saw the program and contacted the organization, who contacted my mom. And my mom, total opposite of a stage mom, she was like, well, you know, do you want to try this? Or you don't have to. And I thought, sure, why not? Because I was going to an art school, and there were kids there who were actors, and it had never been my thing, but I was aware of what they did, and it seemed like fun. And so I went to an audition, and I booked the job of a Honeycomb commercial. And then it came very easily to me. I got Little Men, and then I did a film out on the East Coast, which got me a manager. And my first audition that I did in Los Angeles was Birds of Prey, and then I booked Birds of Prey. And then I sort of put the brakes on my career to go to school, and I traveled around the world for a year and then came back to Los Angeles and could not pay someone to give me a job. And it was the first time in my life that I'd ever had to really work for acting. And that's when I realized, okay, this is what I really want to do. But it's like, you know, drop everything else and really focus on this. And I've been very blessed now to have a second opportunity to do what I love.
Well, we're thankful you became an actress, too, because, well, from the Honeycomb Hideout to the Birds of Prey Lair, that's one of our favorite shows here. Birds of Prey, you played Dinah Lance. I'm going to say it's a show easily a decade ahead of its time, because this would still be on today in today's comic book-themed television and movie world. My goodness, this is coming right out of Tim Burton's Batman films, sort of set in that world a little bit. Like a futuristic version of it. Were you a fan of the Tim Burton films and Michael Keaton and that whole Michelle Pfeiffer Catwoman thing?
I'm going to take it back even more old school. I loved Batman as a little girl. I actually still have my little car Batmobile that I would play with because I watched Adam West's Batman.
Nice. Okay, and your geek cred just went way up.
I mean, my full geek is about to just, like, come out just with flying colors. Oh, my goodness, I love that Adam West. And it's just been released on DVD. I'm so excited about it.
Yeah.
And I actually met Adam West, and I've never been so starstruck in my entire life. I could barely speak to him. He was so incredibly gracious. First of all, it took me all day to just get the courage to speak to him. I met him at a Comic-Con, and we were in the green room all day. And my agent kept saying, "Oh, I'll introduce you." I was like, no, I can't. I can't talk to him. I'm so nervous. And finally, I got the courage. I blacked out. I don't even remember what I said because I was that scared.
Had you been on Birds of Prey at this time, or were you? This is years later.
This was like last summer.
Okay. So you're like, I worked with Catwoman.
Yeah. Oh no, I was a fully grown adult when this happened.
Okay.
And then when he left, he winked at me and made my entire life. So, yes, I was a huge, huge Batman fan. I'd seen all the Batman films. And for me, it was just this seamless transition of going into all of this Batman mythology and story. And I very, very much feel that it was a decade before its time.
Yeah, and it's such a great-looking show as well. I mean, we'll talk about your co-stars here, but just the look of the show. I mean, seen straight out of the comics. We've got Alan Moore's The Killing Joke with Barbara Gordon being paralyzed by the Joker. We've got Mark Hamill's voice as the Joker. Batman, Catwoman, Joker all off the top. And then you're coming in, Dinah Lance. How did you see this character? Talk about the audition process and then how the character was sort of pitched to you.
So I had been given one page of what we call sides, but it's basically just one page of the script. And I knew the concept was Batman, but I didn't know which character in particular. I mean, it was all sort of shrouded in secrecy. And I remember going after school to make a tape to send to Los Angeles, and I just read this one page of lines and sent it off, and I got a phone call from my manager saying, I have Brian Robbins on the phone for you. And of course, Brian Robbins had just come fresh off of, you know, the success with Smallville, and he wants to talk to you. So Brian Robbins gets on the phone, and I'm 16 sitting in my mom's living room, and he says, well, I saw your tape, and I want you to come down and meet Peter Roth and everyone at Warner Brothers. Would you like to do that? And so I thought, yes, yeah, sweet, I've never been to L.A., this is awesome. And I don't think I fully understood the whole, I know I didn't understand anything about pilot season or the magnitude of the audition process in Los Angeles. And so, you know, we fly down, we're put up in a beautiful hotel in Universal Studios, where I was honestly more excited about Universal Studios than I was the audition. And I remember going in and reading, and I was so green, like I put my lines on my little cue cards, and I went in, and they were all very gracious, and I read for them. And then I remember Peter, who to this day I have a tremendous amount of respect for. He's such a lovely man. And Peter stood up, and he came over, and he shook my hand, and he said, young lady, welcome to the WB. Wow. And that was it. That was literally all that I did. So it was really one of those, like, fairy tale Hollywood stories. And then I filmed pilot and it got picked up, and then moved back down to LA and we did the show. So truthfully, it wasn't until the pilot and definitely like going into filming the series that I was kind of made more aware of my character and what they expected. And I think, truthfully, they were just developing Dinah because we'd had numerous conversations right before we were canceled about kind of the direction that they wanted Leda, who's the writer, wanted to see that character go in. And unfortunately, you know, we didn't get that opportunity.
Do you think it was because you were so green at that time and your character in the show was just so sort of naive and coming into, I mean, do you think that was like, oh, that's exactly what, like, just be yourself?
I think so. I mean, Dinah and I had a lot in common. We both had come to a big city looking for something and you know, we're so naive and so green and so young and, you know, but I think I was a little bit like Dinah too. Like, I was just ready to take a bite out of Los Angeles. And I felt that while she was very naive, there was like a strength to Dinah that I really admired, you know, like she just got on a bus and followed her dream. And I love that.
What was the most challenging aspect of shooting the series for you?
I think the most challenging thing, honestly, was probably just being away from my family and being away from Toronto. It was the first time that I'd ever shot a show on location without my mom or brother being there. And I, like Dinah, was very naive and coming into Los Angeles. Come to this party, come to this party. And I just really wanted to like watch a hockey game. And that was a big challenge for me. I think also the expectations when you take on a character like that, I wasn't prepared for that. And I've experienced it since, but I'd never experienced it before because Dinah is a beloved character and people have expectations for how she should look and what she should do and all of those things. I mean, it was to an even lesser degree back then because there wasn't Twitter, there wasn't Instagram, there weren't, you know, the same sort of magnitude of social media. I can only imagine now, like I'd be sitting at home like a, you know, crazy on my phone, just sweating it out. But
well, look what happens to Ben Affleck. I mean, with his success and all of a sudden they cast him as Batman and the whole world explodes.
Yes, myself included. But I didn't take the Twitter.
Wait a minute, back up a second. Wait, are you not team Batfleck here?
You know what? I actually, first of all, I admire Ben Affleck because I think it's really, he's something of a maverick how he's turned his career, like it's kind of his career's gone from Good Will Hunting down to like Geely, then like back up to some of the incredible films that he's done lately. No, I am a Ben Affleck fan.
Okay.
But I loved Christian Bale as Batman, and I loved what Chris Nolan did with that whole series of Batman. And as much as I always want there to be a new Batman movie coming out, you know, sometimes when you're like, yes, that was great, I loved that, so let's just have it be done now. And I don't know how I feel about Ben Affleck being Batman.
Well, and he's no Adam West.
Yes, because clearly my favorite Batman was not campy at all.
That's so, right. It's not going to top Adam West at all. So, well, hey, let's talk about some of your co-stars that you got to work with here. Ashley Scott and Dina Meyer. And Dina even gets to put on the suit. She even gets to put on the Batgirl suit in this. So it's like for every comic book, I don't know how this thing didn't take off because it's got everything. What were they like to work with? And did you have a relationship with them offset as well?
Oh, they were so lovely to me. I guess Ashley would have been, I mean, at the time she seemed incredibly old, but I think she was probably only 25 and Dina only a few years older. I really thought that they were over the hill. And both of them they'd have me over to their house and have sleepovers. And I remember one time I really liked Ashley's pants that she was wearing, and the next day when I came into work, she had bought me a pair in my size and left them in my trailer for me. And Dina would, you know, go, I loved Jamba Juice, and she would go to Jamba Juice and get me a smoothie when she went and got one. And I mean, they really were like big sisters to me and cared for me. And for that, I didn't realize it at the time because I'd had just such little experience on set, but now I appreciate it even more, because that's not always the norm, especially with three women, you know. But no, they were lovely. And I've actually still kept in touch with both of them, because I just quite adored them. So working with them was a treat. And yeah, sometimes you have to kind of like BS and be like, oh yeah, they were great. But like, I can genuinely say they were both lovely.
Well, the chemistry comes across too, because there is that relationship in the show, and it comes across. So it doesn't look like acting. It looks like you guys were actually had that kind of relationship. Lori Loughlin as your mom, Black Canary. Let's talk about that episode, because you really got to dig in on that one. Where she
I
kinda
did. That was probably one of my favorites.
Okay, how, like, where did you go to dig deep into those scenes? Because this is basically in the story, Black Canary is your mom. She abandons you, I guess, to protect you. But now you've got all these abandonment issues, and she comes back in, and for the first time, you guys are meeting. Where do you go to channel those scenes?
You know, I think as an actor, you always draw on specific experiences that you've had or shades of your personality, and then you simply magnify those to be larger than perhaps you've experienced and make this fully formed character. I hadn't had a parent abandon me in an intentional sense. I'd lost my father and at that time not so long ago, and so it wasn't difficult for me to feel that deep sadness that Dinah had to feel, you know, and feel what it was like to really have missed out on having your parents around. And I loved filming with Lori. I mean, I obviously knew her from Full House, and I'd grown up with that, and she was, you know, a real, like, mom, and she had her little kids, and they'd come, and also she looked after me and was so kind to me, her and her husband, and so it was very easy. You know, she was very generous in terms of being a co-star and working with her. So it actually, I think, was a little bit harder to be angry at her. The emotional stuff was easy, but to be angry with her was a little bit more difficult, because also she's quite little in real life. Like, we used to joke that it wouldn't have been possible for her to even birth me, because you know, she's like this tiny little Pop Tart, and I'm like, you know, 5'10". Like, I've always felt like I was an eater.
You're a hockey goalie. You're a hockey goalie.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
And she's supposed to be the Black Canary. Well, that, yeah. Now,
the magic of the movies.
Oh, it's all camera angles and lighting, right?
Yeah.
The series obviously wrapped up a lot earlier than you expected. Did you kind of know that about halfway in, and it's like, okay, let's start wrapping up these episodes, let's wrap up these storylines?
Yeah, so we started filming in the summer. By Christmas break, we knew that the show had been canceled, and Warner Brothers was nice enough to say, you know what, we want you to round out the 13 episodes. And I think also so that they could sell it internationally. But it was nice, because most shows that I've been a fan of, they just kind of get canceled, and then you're left hanging, whereas Birds of Prey, we got the opportunity to, you know, kind of give the fans a little bit of an ending, which was really nice. But it was bittersweet, because, you know, you're filming and you're working, and you know that it's ending and it's over. And I think that, you know, I wanted to go to university at that point, so I knew that I was leaving L.A., but I think it was especially hard for Dina and Ashley.
Yeah. Had they talked about future storylines, like, before the official work got canceled? Because when this thing premiered, I think you had, like, you know, I mean, the ratings were gangbusters, and then it just
kind of... It was crazy.
Yeah.
I think it was the highest they'd ever had.
Yeah, up at that point, it was. And then, like, so yeah, so give it some time, but had they talked about future episodes? Like, would you have become the Black Canary?
I think that was their intention, to develop Dinah. I know they also talked to me a little bit about relationships that she was going to have, and her kind of exploring her sexuality, and that perhaps, I know that the writer sort of wanted to make her a little bit like Willow from Buffy. Mm. We talked about that, and But then they kind of went in the other direction and made her this total badass when we rounded off the show. So I don't know exactly what their intentions had been.
They hadn't talked anything about like Batman returning or anything like that, or like some of these other.
Oh, Batman was definitely going to return. That was always something that was going to happen. That was always their intention. I think Dina's character was going to spend more time out of her chair, and they talked a lot about that. Obviously, Shamar and Ashley's relationship was going to kind of develop and not develop. And there were lots of ideas that were thrown around. But again, I mean, I think we were canceled after episode 6. So after that, it was more about, you know, trying to give the fans some sort of a, you know, closure or ending. Yeah. And then it was really about developing.
And we do have that. So, favorite moment, favorite episode? Well, you mentioned your favorite episode, but favorite moment that you had with the cast?
Probably my favorite moment was when, there's so many moments. I remember the first moment I thought, this is not Toronto anymore. I'm in LA now. We were filming the pilot, and I had just gotten my driver's license. But in Canada, you get it in two parts, whereas here, I think at the time, like, you just got your driver's license. And so I'd mentioned it to Brian Robbins, the producer, and he's like, oh, well, I should let you drive my car. And I was like, yeah, that's great. So then about an hour later, his, like, Porsche drives up, this little Porsche convertible, and he throws me the keys, and he's like, here, take it for a spin. I was like, oh, we're not in Kansas anymore. it was so sweet of him. I couldn't even believe he trusted me as a Porsche. But I think also just favorite moments were having sleepovers and eating popcorn at Ashley's, or one very cool moment too was we filmed on the same lot as The Last Samurai with Tom Cruise. And so I'd see Tom Cruise, like, bopping around. And, you know, I mean, it was just all of these things where, for me, now it's much more normal. But at the time, it was blowing my mind. You don't have to call up all my friends on my little flip phone and be like, oh, my goodness, guess what just happened?
Yeah, I was a 16-year-old girl, and then she sees Tom Cruise walking around. That's got to be amazing. It's a fantastic show. We love it here. We have the DVD box set, so we can watch them anytime we want. There's all kinds of crazy, cool stuff going on there. Any desire to get back into the world of superheroes? Like, if somebody offered you another superhero role, or what would it be?
Yeah, absolutely. It's like, what would it be? That's a good question. I mean, I actually feel like we're just starting to see, you know, with the Supergirl pilot coming out, we're just sort of starting to see the female superheroes. You know, we've had Arrow and Flash that have been incredibly successful, and I guess there's some in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and all that, but I think I'd love to play, like, one of the, you know, superheroes from Thor or something, just as, like, an homage to my Scandinavian roots.
Skin of the Valkyrie, yeah, exactly.
My ideal, yeah. I got such a kick. I know my whole family in Norway got such a kick out of me being a Valkyrie, so... yeah, that would probably be fun. Although I think that, you know, I missed the boat because Thor's already been made. But
well, there's more coming out. And, hey, get your manager, get Kevin Feige on the phone. And you've already got the superhero cred. So, that'd be cool. If you see any in Marvel Universe, then you cover them both. So let's talk about what you're up to now. We've got Lost Girl final season coming up.
Yes, so Lost Girl's final season is coming up. We just finished... we sort of did a two-parter Walking Dead-esque of 8 episodes and 8 episodes, and but filmed them together in sequence, and I am so excited for everyone to see that, because I think it's just going to blow everyone's mind, and the writers, like, went all out. It's, like, just epic pandemonium. So that is coming out on Sci-Fi, and then I'm in 50 Shades of Grey, which is coming out on the 13th, which is crazy. And then I just finished a film called The Cove, which was an independent.
With General Zod.
And, sorry?
With Callum Blue, General Zod.
With General
in,
Zod.
In our world, that's he's General Zod to us.
I know. Yes. And he's wonderful, and I really adore him. So we filmed that down in Malta and had a ball. And now I'm actually working with an organization, Build On, doing a documentary on education and building schools in third worlds. And I'll be going to Malawi in a few weeks to build a school. So
wow.
That's what I'm up to.
A superhero in real life. Look at you. Doing super cool superhero stuff. That's great. Upcoming. Well, you mentioned a convention you're at with Adam West. Upcoming convention appearances. Where can fans find you? How can they find out more about you? Are you on Twitter?
I am. I'm on Twitter and Instagram with the same handle, which is Rachie Thurston. RACHIESKARSTEN. And as for conventions, I'm going to DragonCon, which I hear is epic. I have never been, so this is my first time.
Wow.
I'm very excited for it.
Okay.
The conventions are so much fun. And I'm always actually pleasantly surprised how many, the first one I ever went to, I just assumed everyone was there for Lost Girl. And it was about one-third Birds of Prey. People bought the DVDs, and it was so much fun for me because there was this like incredible blast from the past. And, how many years is it now? I guess 13 years later,
2002.
People still love the show. And
yeah. Well, that's what I say. It's decade ahead of its time.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's so humbling to have been a part of that and touching that people still love it because, I really loved it. And, it's really nice.
I think it touched on a lot of things that you don't typically see in a comic book show. I mean, you talk about abandonment, there's the episode with Lady Shiva and, where Batgirl accidentally, kills somebody, an innocent. There's all these layers to it. It's just too bad they didn't give it a little bit more breathing room. But like we said, we've got the DVDs. Fans can bring them up to you, get their pictures of Dinah Lance signed. And reach out to you on Twitter, too. So, as comic books and superhero fans, we're thankful we got several amazing stories with the Birds of Prey. What a fantastic job you and your co-stars did bringing those characters to life. We appreciate it, and I appreciate you joining me on the show today.
No, thank you so much for having me. This was a wonderful way to spend my Friday evening, so I really appreciate it as well.
No, that was definitely a fun way for me to spend an evening as well. If you want to catch up with Rachel, if you want to find out more about her latest projects, get the rundown on her upcoming appearances, as she mentioned, she's on Twitter. It's at Rachie Scarsden, RACHIESKARSTEN. She's the same on Instagram. I'll get those links up in the show notes at comicbookcentral.net, as well as the link to DragonCon, where she's going to appear. Stephen Amell, Arrow himself, he's going to be there as well. So maybe the two can compare superhero notes. Again, thanks so much to Rachel for stopping by and talking about Birds of Prey. I had a blast. Folks, you can get the entire series on Amazon for under $13. That's less than $1 an episode. You get Dinah Lance, The Huntress, Oracle, Batgirl, Harley Quinn, Black Canary, Alfred Pennyworth, Clayface, Lady Shiva. It is great superhero stuff. Check it out. You'll be glad you did. And hey, while you're checking things out, check out our website, comicbookcentral.net. Links to what you heard in today's show, all the past episodes, more about Comic Book Central itself. It's all there. Be sure to check out Comic Book Central on Facebook as well. Facebook.com/ComicBookCentralNetwork. Share the Lair, hashtag Share the Lair, and follow Comic Book Central on Twitter at ComicBookCTRL. As I mentioned earlier, subscribe to the show in iTunes. You'll get all the episodes. Please leave a review if you're enjoying the show. And be sure to drop me a line. What do you think about Birds of Prey? What's your favorite episode? Did you like the show? Did you like the characters? Let me know what you think. Joe@ComicBookCentral.net. or on the website, click the Signal Me tab. You can catch me there as well. All right, folks, that is it for today. Like a bird of prey, I gotta fly, but I will return to the roost next week. Now, typically, I give everyone a preview of what's ahead for next week's show. I'm working on a little something-something right now. I'm not sure if the timing is going to work out, but if I might have to go in a different direction, but we'll see how the next few days play out. I've got a few themes we're going to play with over the next few weeks, but again, the next few days are going to tell which direction the show is going to go in. So I'm going to keep you posted on Facebook, so if you haven't gone over there and clicked like, check it out. I'll keep everybody posted as to who the guest is going to be next week. Twitter, same thing. If you haven't already, join Comic Book Central on social media. Rest assured, there will be another incredible guest here in the lair next week. Until then, have an incredible week. Keep reading those comics. Thanks for joining me here in the lair, Comic Book Central, where comic books come to life. This podcast is intended for entertainment and education purposes only. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Comic Book Central and is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivations 3.0 Unported License. All of the content and names are registered trademarks and copyrights of the respective holders.
Ooh, honeycomb, me want honeycomb, honeycomb sweet and crunchy, toasted honey!